Hello, I'm Norma Galumbus. Welcome to the Norma Galumbus Lifestyle Podcast, a part of the Saskatchewan Podcast Network. Thank you for listening. Season 4, Episode 7, Trailblazers, Women in the Workforce. Have you ever thought about the ongoing challenges women who worked outside the home faced decades ago? These women were trailblazers who paved the way for broader career choices in ensuing years. I have written stories about the lives of pioneer farm women, but I wanted to find out what it was like for women who joined the workforce. A working wife. In a letter Mom wrote to Dad when they were courting in the fall of 1946, she hedged the question, "How would you feel about having a working wife?" In my story, When the King Was on the Stamp, you can read more about the letters they wrote. At the time, she was taking a business course and was questioning whether she would use the course if they married. I couldn't find his letter in reply to that question, but Mom didn't complete the program and she never worked outside the home. Baby started coming the first year they were married, and she had more than enough to do raising 5 kids, cooking, doing laundry with no running water, tending the garden, milking cows, raising chickens, and helping Dad. Now that I see that written down, it's hard to imagine her having a full-time job outside the home on top of all that. She didn't get her driver's license until she was around 50, so merely getting to and from work would have been an issue. Blazing the trail, women in the workforce. As professional women, such as teachers and nurses, accepted employment positions in rural communities and married local farmers, the idea of working women became more acceptable. Women worked as cooks, beauticians, waitresses, telephone operators, maids, seamstresses, and sales girls. Hours were long, wages low, and there was no such thing as paid sick leave, subsidized daycare, workers' compensation, or government-supported maternity leave at the time. Men's roles. There was a stigma faced by many men in those early years that if your wife had to go to work, then you, as the man of the house, obviously couldn't provide for your family. Out of pride, some men refused to allow their wives to take jobs, even when the family was financially struggling. A way around. Even if women of the day didn't work outside the home, many had side hustles that helped bring in money, such as selling eggs, cream, or produce, or taking in sewing or laundry. Every woman wanted to have their own bit of pin money to buy personal items for themselves and the kids. In the 1950s, societal expectations for women homemakers when their husbands came home from a hard day's work included: have dinner ready, prepare yourself by touching up your makeup and adding a ribbon to your hair. The house should be clean and quiet. Don't meet him with complaints. Let him talk first. Men years ago had set ideas of what women's work was, and most of them never got near it. They were raised to think that a woman's true calling was to be a wife and a mother. In the 1960s, young people started to stay in school longer, and married women found it easier to find employment. Two-income families were common. Technological advances made household chores faster to do, and smaller families made it more logistically feasible for women to go to work. The pressures brought on by the women's movement of the 1970s resulted in improvements in benefits and wages for women. Male and female roles in the family have changed significantly. Many men do laundry, cook, clean the house, and look after the kids. Obstacles along the way. A lot of battles have been fought in order to achieve the rights women have today. From where females started, we have come a long way. After all, for centuries, women were thought of as submissive and inferior beings, so we had a long ways to go towards independence. Employers figured out that they could hire women and pay them half the wage they paid men. Women were then criticized for taking those jobs because some felt that they should have gone to the male breadwinners of the family. It wasn't only criticism from men that some women faced. They also had to deal with criticism from other women who felt they were overstepping perceived boundaries. The marriage bar was a term used to describe the practice where women were legally required to resign their jobs once they married. This was still in place for professions such as teaching until the 1950s. The thought process was that marriage equals pregnancy, and it was unseemly for a pregnant woman to be working in a classroom full of impressionable children. Maybe the adults that felt that way were afraid that their kids would come home from school and ask where babies came from. As an example, in the 1930s, rules teachers were required to follow included: not to marry during the term of their contract, be home between 8 p.m. and 6 a.m., do not loiter downtown in any ice cream stores, do not smoke cigarettes, wear at least 2 petticoats, dresses should be no shorter than 2 inches above the ankle. Years ago, before the Me Too movement, women who faced harassment on the job would never have dreamed of saying anything. The sad part is that even today, many women don't file a complaint when issues arise. I've talked a bit about this with my aunt, who started working in an office in the 1960s. She's had some stories she recounted about things men she worked with said that would definitely not have been acceptable today. Some interesting facts. In Canada, in 1867, the first woman physician. 1897, first female lawyer. 1921, first female elected to the House of Commons. 1924, first woman to represent at the Olympic Games. 1929, women were declared as persons by the law. 1964, a woman could open a bank account without obtaining her husband's signature. 1970, women made 50 cents for every dollar men made. 1971, maternity leave benefits were added to unemployment insurance. 1978, airline flight attendants gained the right to work once married, and they could continue working beyond the age of 32. In 1987, combat roles in the Royal Canadian Air Force were open to women. 1992, the first female astronaut. 2009 was the first time there were more women than men in the workforce. The effects of historical events. The Great Depression, 1929 to 1939. In the years leading up to 1929, investors, overeager to make a fast fortune, bought stocks at a rapid rate using family savings or borrowed money. When word of falling stock prices circulated, many panicked and sold off their shares at a fraction of what they had paid, leaving themselves broke or with massive debt. The ensuing Great Depression was the most severe economic downturn in modern history. It started in the United States, but had an effect around the world. Things spiraled as people spent less, so not as much product was needed to be produced, which led to less jobs, unemployment, and so on. People who did have money in banks were afraid the banks would close, so they pulled their cash out, causing the banks to falter. There is some truth to all those old stories about people hiding their money in their mattresses. The Dirty 30s. To compound the financial heartache of the day, a drought also took place. Once fertile farmland and ranches in the plains of the U.S. and Canada dried up, massive dust storms plagued the area. The drought forced many families to abandon farming and seek employment in less affected areas of the country. It was a very difficult and different lifestyle from what they were accustomed to. World War II. Inadvertently, World War II changed a lot of things for women. It is significant to note that as a member of the WAC, Women's Army Corps, 150,000 women also served in non-combat positions during the war. Female personnel did jobs such as drivers, mechanics, clerks, radio operators, and they also packed parachutes. With men joining the war effort, women at home had the opportunity to step up and prove themselves in the working world. When men came back from the war, they wanted their jobs back, and many expected the status quo to be the same as when they had left. Things had changed, though, and women stayed and continued entering the workforce. With the post-war boom, the government encouraged women to fill vacant positions. The vocabulary. In order to truly understand the history of women in the workplace, one needs to be familiar with terms such as sexism, feminism, gender equity, wage equity, and affirmative action. My personal path. When I was a kid in the 60s and 70s, some of my friends' moms had jobs, but most did not work outside the home. In high school, when I was struggling to choose a career path, nursing was at the top of my list. I chickened out on that one and chose an office education position instead. I will never forget the look on my brother's face when I told him I was going to be a secretary. He looked disappointed and said something to the effect that I would be someone's gopher my entire life. I was insulted and indignant that he made such a comment, but I do admit that I thought about that comment many times through the years. My parents were satisfied with my decision, and as I was getting married soon anyway, there's nothing wrong with being a secretary. I did the job for 37 years. Fortunately, women today are not expected to stick within traditional female career roles as they were years ago. Many times over the years, I heard people say, "You're just a secretary." But worse than that, I heard myself say it in reply to questions about what I did for a living. It took me years to stop saying the word "just" in reference to my job description. If we belittle ourselves, how do we expect to stand up to others who do it to us? I guess people in professional careers also have this issue, such as, "You're just a nurse, you're not a doctor," or "You're just an elementary teacher, not a high school teacher." The worst comment is, "You're just a stay-at-home mom, you don't work." I took the government allotted 3-month maternity leave with our first baby. That was changed to 6 months, 5 years later, when our son was born. The government pays mothers to a part of their earnings when they are off work, and some employers will top that amount up. Today in Canada, maternity leave is 12 months, or the funds can be spread out over 18 months. When I started working as an administrative assistant, we were called secretaries in the beginning, in the early 80s, my bosses and their bosses were all men. Now, women executives are common in the sector I worked in. My bosses were women the last years I worked there. In conclusion, whether through nature or nurture, we as women tend to be, I hate to say it, but a bit jealous, competitive, and territorial by nature. I think we need to work on setting those feelings aside and try to lift each other up. On difficult days, reflect on the women who came before you and what they went through so that you have the freedom to choose whatever career path you want. Women in many countries still are demeaned and do not have the opportunity to choose a career or even work outside the home. The struggle continues, wage gaps remain in some sectors, and there is still significant pressure on women to seamlessly balance work and family life. There are a lot of low-paying part-time jobs with no benefits or security that are filled by women. Women in my friend group have taken many career paths, teachers, nurses, office workers, and business people. Let's celebrate the women who have made and continue to make a lasting impact. A familiar quote by Canadian author Jean Little that many of us gals have said, "A man can work from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done." Sorry, guys. Here's to strong women. May we know them, may we be them, may we raise them. Visit my lifestyle blog for episode pictures and links to my garden and published works pages, food blog, and gift shop. My website address is in the episode notes. The Saskatchewan Podcast Network is supported by Direct West. Is marketing getting in the way of running your business? Direct West has a local expert team right here in Saskatchewan that will work with you to build your website exactly how you imagine it. Let them help you improve your online presence and head to directwest.com to learn more.
The Saskatchewan Podcast Network is supported by Kinexys. Savings, checkings, GIC, budget, RESP, RRSP, TFSA, mutual funds, credit score, emergency funds, variable versus fixed rates, compound interest, retirement. The list goes on and on. It's time to make sense of it all. At Kinexys Credit Union, they want to help. Financial literacy is a critical life skill, giving you the knowledge and confidence to make smart, responsible decisions about your money. Visit KinexisMoneyTalk.ca to find expert advice, tips, and solutions for all life stages and events, and increase your financial literacy knowledge and confidence today.